Ephesians chapter number 6. And I just want to say, since this is my opportunity, that I've had such a fun time preaching to you guys this week. You guys have been a great group to preach to. You're a great group of kids, except for those two boys that dunked me earlier.
Amen.
Who's that? You and who's the other one? And you over there? Yeah. And yeah, you guys, I don't know, you need a little work still, but no, it's a lot of fun. And we had a good time, and so had a great week. Parents, thank you so much for sending your young people to camp. It is always worth it. And again, it's such an investment, so thank you so much, because it helps. I mean, obviously, a camp couldn't exist if kids didn't come. And, you know, an evangelist lives in the summer on VBS and camps, and so I'm thankful for the investment that parents make to send their kids to camp so I can have kids to preach to. We've had a tremendous week this week, and we pray for you folks as you disperse to your churches and for these young people. And again, it's I want you to know, I want parents to know, I don't take it lightly being able to speak God's truth to young people. It's such a, it's an honor, it's a privilege, it's the joy of my life. And again, we've had a great week this week. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll read verses 10 through 14. And we're not going to, of course, this is the armor of God passage, and we're not going to look at all the pieces of the armor tonight. I just want to start with the first couple verses here. And because that's really going to be our main thought tonight, all right? So Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." We're going to stop there. I want to preach tonight just very shortly here on this subject, how we stand. How we stand. Let's pause and let's ask for the Lord's help. Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you so much for the wonderful way that you've given to us, the safety you've given to us, the decisions that have been made, Lord, the eternal destinies that have been forever changed. And Lord, the course that you've set these young people on, many of these young people that have had very tender hearts and been sensitive to you. And Lord, thank you so much for the work that you've done. Now, for the next few moments, still our minds and our hearts, and encourage us one more time, God, through your word. Challenge us, draw us close to yourself. Give safety to everyone as they leave here in just a little bit. Help us to honor you and all that we say and do. Lord, help us to leave this place tonight choosing that we're going to stand for you no matter what. Lord, thank you for these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of the revivals or awakenings, we could say, in our country, has had many different awakenings, but one of those revivals took place in 1857, 1858, and it started off by being called the New York City Prayer Revival. A man by the name of Jeremiah Lamphere, he was a businessman. He wasn't a preacher, he was just a businessman, but he was burdened, he was concerned about the condition of his city and the many, many thousands that did not know God. And so he said, you know what, we're going to start a noontime prayer meeting. And he was going to invite all the businessmen all over the city to come and to pray specifically for the city, but also for the country, and that God would just send an awakening, many people would be saved. And the first day that he had that meeting, there was only six guys that showed up. But that didn't deter Brother Lamphere. He said, you know what, six guys, that's a tremendous start. And so they kept praying. And you know what, eventually, young people, that prayer meeting turned into hundreds of businessmen all across New York City coming and gathering together at this specific location and praying for the city and praying for our country. Well, quickly, that started happening in all these other cities, right? In Boston and in Philadelphia and in Chicago and other places around our country, these prayer meetings, noontime prayer meetings, began popping up. It's a tremendous story. I love to read about it. Well, another leader, a lesser known leader in that kind of awakening, kind of revival, was a man by the name of Dudley Ting. And Dudley Ting, he pastored in Philadelphia, and he was a fearless preacher who boldly stood for the truth and led his people in praying and in reaching out. And the story goes that on March 30th, 1858, all right, long before, well, I don't know, maybe Brother Fry was around back then, or no, I'm just joking, all right? And that was a long time ago, young people, all right? And so 1858, March 30th, Our Dudley Ting, he preached to a crowd of 5,000 people at the downtown YMCA, and he was preaching hard that particular service and on his commitment to the Lord. And Dudley Ting said this. He said this in his message, and I quote, he said, "I must tell my master's errand, and I would rather that this right arm were amputated at the trunk than I should come short of my duty to you in delivering God's message." Well, that particular statement turned out to be almost prophetic. It's like he almost knew what was going to take place. Because 2 weeks later, after preaching that message, Dudley Ting, he was examining a barn with a few preacher friends of his, and his shirt sleeve got caught in a corn threshing machine, and his arm was pulled into the thrasher, and it was torn from its socket. A few days later, at the age of 33, Dudley Ting would die from deep laceration and blood loss. But before he died, young person, he said, that's terrible, and it is. It was a very, very sad story. But before he died, young person, as his life is slipping away from him, the story goes that he is laying on his deathbed, and the group of preachers, his preacher friends, are gathered around him in the room. And Dudley Ting said these words, "Let us all stand up for Jesus. Let us all stand up for Jesus." He had a preacher friend named George Duffield. And George Duffield, he took that phrase, "Let us all stand up for Jesus." And at the funeral a few days later, after Dudley Ting had passed, George Duffield had gone home and he penned down some words. And it was the song, stand up for Jesus. "Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss." And he wrote that in honor of his friend, Dudley Ting. And as we close this week, young people, I want you to understand. I want to challenge every staff member, every counselor, every parent, every grandparent. Let us all stand up for Jesus. It's still what God is looking for. It's still what God is desiring. It's still what the devil hates. It's still what the world needs, that we stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Young person, we've talked about it this week, right? You guys understand, remember, you recognize that we're living in a fallen world. That's the world, sadly, that you guys are growing up in, and things are just going to get worse and worse, because that's what the Bible tells us, all right? And so what can we do about that? Can we say, oh, well, you know, we'll try to do the best that we can, and maybe, you know, it's just going to get bad, or can we take God at his word and believe and trust God, trust and obey, like we talked about this week, and stand up for God and make a difference, like we saw in the life of Esther last night, right? And so we live in this fallen world. It's a fallen world in a physical sense. You know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 that it wasn't when Adam and Eve took of the fruit, it wasn't just mankind that was cursed, but the whole creation, the earth, was cursed as well. And we live in a fallen world in that physical sense. In fact, Romans chapter number 8 talks about how this physical world, it's like waiting for its own redemption, so to speak, right? And so we live in a fallen world in a physical sense, but secondly, we live in a fallen world in a spiritual sense. The Bible says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And young person, listen, I don't know of a more accurate description of what is happening in the world that you're growing up in. People are taking what's good and they're saying, that's evil, that's old-fashioned, that doesn't work anymore today, right? They're taking what's evil and they're calling that good. They're calling that progress, right? It's exactly what the Bible says. And in that fallen world, I want to challenge you guys as you're about to head home, all right? If I never see you again in this life, I want to challenge you guys to go and to take a stand for Jesus. And as we talked about this week, you might say, well, again, I'm like 8 years old. I'm like 10 years old. Mr. Will, what can I do? You can stand for God where he has you. You can make a difference in your home, in your neighborhood, at your church, in your school. All right? You can make a difference and stand for the Lord. So how do we stand, though? Does it just happen automatically? Does it just happen because we're in a Christian home or we come to Servant's Heart Camp? Those are wonderful things. Those are wonderful blessings, being in a Christian home and coming to a camp like this, all right? But it takes a little more, purpose in our hearts. Right? If we're going to go out in this world, and as you guys, Jesus tarries, as you guys continue to grow up, right, to stand for him. Let me give you three things, and we're going to be done quick tonight, okay? Number one, here's how we stand. We stand, number one, in the truth of God. Can you guys say that with me? Stand in the truth of God. Say it again. Stand in the truth of God. One more time. Stand in the truth of God. We have to stand in God's truth. That's what Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 says. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The idea there for a soldier was the midsection, right? And the midsection was the seat of strength. It's where the strength really came from. And so the Apostle Paul says, listen, spiritually, we have to stand with our loins girt about with God's truth. Again, if we're going to stand in this fallen world and make a difference and defeat the enemy and not be swallowed up by all of his lies, we must stand in God's truth. We must immerse ourselves in the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, in verse number 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Well, that kind of begs the question, though, tonight. And again, we've already talked about this. This is review. What is truth? And young person, you need to right now, okay, not because your pastor says it, not because your youth pastor says it, not because your mom or your dad say it, or your grandpa was a pastor, okay? You need to right now determine in your heart, this is God's truth, the Bible, the Word of God. You say, why is that? Because it calls itself God's truth. And so either it's the greatest lie that we've ever seen, or this book is what it claims to be. And it came from who God is, right? And who Jesus claims to be. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. In John 17, in verse 17, Jesus was praying to his Father, and Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. 2 Timothy 3:16, we talked about this verse earlier this week, right? All scripture, all the scripture that we have for us, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Someone raise your hand and tell me what that meant. Remember we talked about it? Who remembers? Yes? That's right. God giving the people the words to say. God breathed. That's right. God breathed. God giving the people the words to say. The human writers, they were writing it down, but God was directing their thoughts exactly what he wanted them to say. And so God's word is true. And young person, if we're going to stand, there's so many lies out there today. We kind of talked about some of those, right? There's so many people that are saying this, and they're saying that, and this is okay, and this. And man, if we're not careful, it's like, whoa, what am I supposed to believe? Everything that you hear as you grow up, you compare it with this book right here. Because this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now listen, specifically, some of you, you're going to go home, and you need to stand in the truth of assurance of salvation. Several of you got assurance this week. You said you weren't sure, and you were struggling with that, and your counselor talked to you about that. And so when you go home, you need to stand, all of us need to stand in that truth. Remember, our salvation is not based upon what we do or what we don't do. It's based upon Jesus Christ and our trusting him, right? Our belief in him, what he did for us on the cross. Again, someone mentioned it in the bonfire last night, right? The Bible says in John chapter 10 that we're in the Father's hand, all right? We're in Christ, and Christ is in the Father's hand, and no man is able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. Wow, what an amazing truth. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, the Bible says that we are kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed through faith into salvation, ready to be revealed unto the last time. And so go home, young person, and stand in that truth. The devil may try to make you doubt, right? He may try to say, oh, well, you disobeyed your mom and dad again, or you're mean to your brother or sister again, right? Now again, while we should obey, while we should be nice, while we should be selfless, that doesn't, if we've trusted Jesus, we're in God's family, all right? And so stand in that truth of assurance. Others are going to need to go home, and you need to stand in the truth that sin interferes in our walk with God, that sin is a big deal, that we should not keep sin in our hearts, whether, again, it's the problem of lying or being selfish or being disrespectful or whatever it is, right? A lot of applications. And we just stand in God's truth that sin is a big deal, that God hates it, and that God will give us the victory to live right. Okay, remember we talked about Romans 8:37? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And just as Jesus was the way to get to heaven, because Jesus is with us, in us by his Spirit, we can every day get up and pray to him and look to him to live right and do right. And so we need to stand in that truth. Others of you are going to go home and you need to stand in the truth that God loves you and accepts you in Jesus. Listen, the older you get, and some of you may not understand this right now, that's okay, all right? But the older that you get, again, you're going to hear some lies from the devil, like, well, nobody loves you, nobody accepts you, you're kind of the odd person out, you don't have as many friends as other people have, right? And you need to stand in the truth that you are God's child. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that you are accepted in the beloved. God accepts you in Jesus because you've trusted Christ as your Savior, and you are unconditionally loved and accepted by God and always will be. I want you guys to never forget that. No matter where, if Jesus tarries another 10, 20, 30, 40 years, I don't know. I mean, I hope he comes back tonight, right? But I don't know, okay? And so the older you get, again, there's probably going to come some point where it's just like you just feel lonely. Feel like nobody understands. Why do I have to go through this hard thing? Why does my family have to deal with this, right? And you need to stand in the truth. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. God said, I will love thee with an everlasting love. God always loves you. God always accepts you in Jesus. Stand in that truth, young person. Some of you need to go home and you need to stand in the truth of surrender. Had a wonderful service last night talking about Esther and how God used her there in the kingdom and how she denied herself. If I perish, I perish, and all that type of stuff. And many of you young people, you made choices of, hey, I'm going to live for Jesus, and I'm going to serve Jesus, and I want to... Well, you need to go home and stand in that truth that there's no greater life to live than the life lived for God. Right? Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul said. And so keep standing in God's truth, that's what God wants. God, that as we saw last night in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, right, that we're not our own. And so our life now is to be to the glory of God. And so young person, stand in that truth. I want to just say over and over again, stand in God's truth. Continue to get into God's word to find out what his truth is and then stand in it. If you have your Bible, real quickly, would you go to John chapter number 8? Because I want you guys to see, how did the devil, Satan, become the devil? how did he become the devil like we know him today? Because Satan was originally what? He was go ahead.
He was the archangel
made
to give praise to God.
Yeah, he was the archangel that was created by God. His name was Lucifer, and the Bible tells us he was a beautiful angelic being. So how did the devil become the devil? What? At its very core, what makes him the devil? Look at what it says in John 8:44. Oh, I don't want you guys to miss this. You guys can understand this. Look at this. John 8:44. It says this. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. This is Jesus speaking to some people. He says he was a murderer from the beginning, and notice this phrase, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Did you get that, young person? Did you see what that just said? It says, listen, he was a murderer and he abode not in the truth. You know what we could say about that? He didn't stand in God's truth. That's what made him the devil. That's why God said, he said, no, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to exalt myself and go above the stars of God. And that wasn't true. There's only one God. Nobody can be higher than God. All right? And so the devil became the devil because he didn't stand in God's truth. He didn't abide in God's truth. He thought something else. And ever since then, he's been spewing lies to people. Spewing lies. Young person, stand in God's truth, all right? Secondly, tonight, we stand in the truth of God. But young person, how else do you stand? You stand by the strength of God. You stand by the strength of God. Look again what it says back in our text in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, the problem that all of us have, that not just you guys, but the adults and your parents and the staff members and the counselors and Mr. Will, the problem that all of us have as Christians with constantly standing in the truth of God is that we have flesh. We still have that part of us that seeks to continually pull us down and distract us and defeat us and get us to live independently from God. Again, as the songwriter said, we're prone to wander. And so here's the truth. Here's what we need to remember as we go home. That to stand in the truth of God, we must stand by the strength of God. He's got to be the one empowering us, right? That's what Paul says here in Ephesians 6, that we are to stand in the Lord in the power of His might. Paul says a very similar thing in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So not in ourselves, not in our wealth. You know, we're in a Christian home, and we come to Servant's Heart Camp, and we memorize the Bible. Don't misunderstand me, because I'm like Brother Fry. I am all for Bible memory. You ought to hide God's word in your heart. But, you know, just hiding God's word in our heart, we can start to feel kind of proud about ourselves. You guys understand? It's like, wow, look at how many Bible verses I know. And if we're not careful, we'll start depending, trusting ourselves instead of Jesus. You guys understand that? Okay? And so, yeah, memorize scripture. Yeah, you can go to church and read your Bible and all those things. But always remember that the strength to live the Christian life is through Jesus. It's through His power. It's through His Spirit. That's what it is. That's how we're strong. Again, 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 33, David said that God is my strength and power, and He maketh my way perfect. Psalm 28 verse number 7, the Lord is my strength and shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. And so, young person, listen, I want you to go home. And I want some of you guys to make good decisions, great decisions this week. And as you wake up tomorrow, probably a little bit later, because you're going to be zonked out. Okay? You're going to sleep in probably a little bit tomorrow. At least that's what your parents are hoping, right? Whenever you wake up, I want you to think about this. I want you to think, you know, I should pray to God and ask God for His strength to live today, for His strength to obey today. Say, can I do that? Yeah. Say, can I do that? Yeah, you can do that. That's communicating with God, talking to God, right? Recognizing that even where you're at, that wow, I can't do this apart from God. If you guys listen, if you guys could get in that habit of every day waking up and saying, God, I need you today, I'm gonna tell you what, you're gonna be far ahead. You're gonna be far ahead in your Christian life if you had that attitude of God, I can't do anything without you. Lord, I want to obey mom and dad, and I want to be nice. I really do, to brother and sister, you know. And Lord, whatever it is, whatever else it is, right? Say, God, I need you, because your word says that I'm supposed to stand in your strength. And so, God, would you please strengthen me today? All right? Can you guys remember to try to do that tomorrow morning? Try to do that tomorrow morning, all right? And then do it the next morning. And then do it the next morning. And if you get in that pattern of talking to God, God, I need you today. God, I need you. God's going to bless your life, young person. Guys, you know why? Because that's faith. Faith, like we've talked about this week, right, is depending upon God. And when you depend upon God, when you live by faith, God will bless your life. Okay? So, stand in the truth of God. Stand by the strength of God. And we're almost done. Number three, stand for the glory of God. How do we stand? We stand in the truth of God, right? Our loins gird about with truth. We stand by the strength of God. And thirdly, here's the purpose. We stand for the glory of God. The purpose that God wants us to stand, why He gives us strength to stand, is all for His glory. You say, what is that, Mr. Will? It's that we might exalt Him and make Him, think of it this way, we're making God look good. We're making Him look good to everyone in this world. To all of our friends and all of our schoolmates and all of our family. And as you guys get older, if you get a job, people that you work with, and we're making God look good. We're putting like a magnifying glass on God. How many of you guys have a magnifying glass? Anybody have a magnifying glass? All right, a few of you do. A few of you. Isn't it cool to, like, you know, go outside and, like, get this bug and, like, you know, look at this bug and look at all the details and, you know. maybe some of you girls are like, no, that's disgusting. I don't want to do that, right? Well, you know, it's a pretty cool thing to magnify something. And to bring God glory is to exalt God, to make God look big, right? To praise him in this world. That's why God wants us to stand for him, ultimately, right? People who, listen, there's a lot of Christians out there, and they're saved, they're going to heaven, but they're not really standing for God. They've kind of quit in their Christian life for all practical purposes. And because of that, there's no light shining from them. They're a reproach to the name of Christ. They make the unsaved world think little of our God, or that God must not be that powerful because he hasn't changed them. And so, young person, do you see? I'm almost done, all right? Hang with me, I'm almost done. Do you see that standing in the truth of God and by the strength of God, it's so important if we're to effectively proclaim the glory of our great God and to lift him up, right? 1 Corinthians 10:31. You guys memorize this verse, right? 1 Corinthians 10:31. If you know, will you say it with me? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God.
1 Corinthians 10:31.
Yes. 1 Corinthians 10:31. That's so true. No matter what you do, you're eating, you're drinking, you're playing with your friends, you're doing your schoolwork, right? You're playing sports. Whatever you're doing, we're to do everything to the glory of God. We're to do everything to make God look good. We're to make sure that we're living in a right manner with our attitudes and our actions to make people think, wow, there's a kid that's different. We kind of talked about that last night, right? Maybe it was this morning. All right? There's a kid that's different. Wow, they're respectful. They're nice. They say, yes, sir. They say, no, ma'am. They say, you know, that child, you know, they're not perfect, but man, they obey mom and dad. The mom and dad call them. And again, when you're living right, when you're standing in God's truth by God's strength, you'll bring glory. You'll make people think, wow, I wonder what their God is like. I wonder who this God is that they say they believe in. Again, young person, we don't stand in God's truth and by his strength to do what we want to do. No, that's not going to work, right? But when you stand in God's truth by his strength, then God blesses us, God uses us, and God is magnified. And so as we leave this place tonight, as you go home and you see your siblings and you see your cat, your dog, or your goldfish, or your rabbit, whoever the boy had the rabbit over here, right? And as you leave this place, I just got one thing to say. Let us all stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus, young person. Keep your eyes on him. Don't take your eyes off of him. Keep looking to God's word. Keep listening to mom and dad. Keep going to church, right? Just stand up for Jesus. Stand in his truth. Stand by his strength. And stand for his glory. If you do that, again, it'll be the best life that you could ever live.